Wednesday, the 27th of July at 2000 UTC. On today's call, we have Alan Greenberg, Holly Raich, Tijani Benjamin, Leon Sanchez, Olivier Crépin-Leblanc, Uriel Lantipouro, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Julie Hammer, Carlton Samuels, apologies noted from Sandra Hoferichter and Maureen Hilliard. From staff, we have Heidi Ulrich, Sylvia Vivanco, Yeshim Nazlar, Lars Hoffman, Ariel Liang, and myself, Gisela Gruber. And if I could please remind everyone to please state the names when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, Alan.
Thank you very much. Haven't seen some of you people in such a long time. Well, it's true for Carlton, actually. All right. The first item on the agenda is policy comments, our favorite thing. The list is shorter than yesterday, which is something to be grateful for. I just want to do a quick review of it and see, do we know where we're going on each one of these? On the intellectual property rights, that is way overdue. Leon and I are supposed to do something, and we will try to do that. On the new ones, the fellowship program, where are we sitting on that? I pointed out yesterday that the people who were so vocal about complaining about the program don't seem to have stepped up to say, to comment on whether this fixes their things, to say thank you, or to say, no, it doesn't fix them. And I'm a little bit at loss to know where to go. Now, I can draft a statement. Anyone on this call can draft a statement on this one. But I find it somewhat disturbing that the people who are most vocal complaining are not willing to step up and do that kind of thing. Anyone have any comments? Is it just me, or in which case I will shelve my angst and move on? Someone is talking, but I can't hear who it is. Holly, go right ahead.
I agree with you. I think if people raise an issue, then when the issue comes up as a policy list, there should be something that says, by the way, you're the one who actually raised some comment. Have you put your hand up to do something? I think it's unfortunate that we raise objections amongst ourselves and nobody will actually do the hard yards to do something about it.
Yeah, Holly, we're very, very hard to hear you.
I agreed with you.
Thank you. I got that gist, but I was simply pointing out we couldn't really hear what you were saying.
It's early.
All right. There's 2 days left in this comment. At some level, I don't want to leave it unanswered. On the other hand, part of my stubbornness says if no one who claims to care about these things, I certainly care, but who makes the most fuss wants to step up, then Cheryl, go ahead.
Hang on, let me get rid of the echo. Thank you. Sorry about that. I didn't think there were 2 days left. I thought it closed on the 27th.
It says the 29th on this piece of paper I have. Presuming that's
not
correct.
Not my error then. That was why I didn't even bother raising the point of doing something small at the ALAC meeting. So I will double check on the master page.
All right, Cheryl, it's the start. It's not the start of your day, but it's not the end of your day. Do you have a few minutes to work with me later on?
Yes.
Okay. Next one, PTI Articles of Incorporation. I don't particularly care. Does anyone care enough? We've got no interest. Philosophically, I don't think it matters one whit. And that goes for all of the PTI ones. I'm willing to strike them off as saying no one has any great interest. No one has expressed any interest. Cheryl, go right ahead.
Thank you. I'm happy to strike them off, but, Cheryl, for the record, not for perhaps exactly the same reason. My reason for not being concerned about putting a comment in unless it was a, a Tacit Hale fellow well met, noting the regular opportunity that we've had via the implementation oversight team to have influence in the development of this process. I mean, I've served on the implementation oversight team, so, you know, I'm up to my eyeballs in it, thank you very much. I could probably quote half of them by now.
Well,
so I sure as hell don't need to write about them.
So I'm on it also, and I haven't paid much attention for the reason I cited. Those who really care are paying attention. I don't think it makes a lot of difference in the end, and it's not worth it. I didn't think it was worthy of my focus. Between the both of us, we have a variety of reasons for not wanting to focus. They're gone. The .com registry agreement, I think, does warrant some focus, if only because the last time there was a .com registry agreement, we expressed some considerable angst over some of the terms in it, and I don't know to what extent anything has changed that's relevant at this point, but I think it certainly warrants a very careful review. We have shipped it out to the various working groups. I'm not optimistic we'll get a lot back, but we might. Olivier.
Yeah, thanks very much, Alan. It's Olivier speaking. First, on the PTI question, the articles and the things, the different consultations there, I think we have to bear in mind this is, you know, the working group, CWGI and a working group, has worked on this quite extensively. We've had our input in there. The articles and so on were all drafted by Sidley and reviewed. I think it would be a bit of a waste of time if it were to. I mean, I've read through the thing. I haven't seen anything that comes out as, you know, that we would need to say something at this point and change it. I haven't seen anything noticeable. What I might do is to look at the other comments that have been made by other communities and see perhaps whether there's anything that we might need to counteract in any way. But I'm certainly happy to have a look at that just after this call. Secondly, on the .com registry agreement, it's a one-pager. I'm really surprised that we haven't had any feedback. It's a one-pager that basically is an aligning of terms for the, I think it's that one, isn't it, the .com registry agreement, aligning of terms between the root zone contract and something else. And it basically then moves the contract renewal to 2022, I think, is the date that I saw. I don't have the paper in front of me, and I'm doing this from memory. It's just a one-pager that shows that. Do we have a problem with renewing a contract in 2022, pushing it so far back? That's, I think, what the question that we need to ask ourselves. It would take you 5 minutes to have a look at that paper. It's a one-pager.
Well, I already went into it yesterday, and, you know, I said, my understanding was it was just aligning periods of contracts. That's exactly what I understood it to be. And although conceptually that adds several years to the current .com agreement, which delays some other changes which might come in on a renewal, and there is some negative aspects of that. There's no question about that, because we're trying to align contractual terms, and this takes .com and pushes it out another few years. So there is a negative from that perception, but essentially this is critical to the IANA transition, and does my concern with extending the contract for a couple of years override the ability to effect the transition should the U.S. government in its good graces grant it? No.
Yeah, thanks, Alan. It's Olivia speaking. That's what it is. You've just answered it. It's a binary question. Do we have a problem with this? Yes, no. Of course, I feel a bit uneasy having this thing being pushed back so much. And you know, 2022 is quite a few years from now. I don't know what, I can't remember what the original renewal date was, but... But then it's all to do with the transition, and of course it makes sense to align those contracts. It does, otherwise you end up with one contract coming up for renewal against another one, and that would if it wasn't renewed, then it would there'd just be a number of problems with those unsynced things.
I must admit, I'm not sure why it isn't relevant to extend the .NET also, but I haven't looked into it, and to be honest, it's not really high on my priority list.
That's a fair point. So thanks.
All right, so as far as I'm concerned, we'll leave that one open, but if no one steps up and says there's an urgent issue, it will die. And the GTLD marketplace health one, I think, is relevant. And I think we had a number of people saying they would look at it yesterday.
Yes, you had both Ginny and Garth.
Yeah, okay. So that one's under control. Anything further on policy issues, or we can put that one to bed?
Okay. Alan, this is Ariel speaking. I think Jimmy and Garth, they volunteered to look at the FP-related public comments. And for the health index that's sent to the UGTLDs and also the registrant issues working group for people to look at. So we're still kind of waiting for volunteers to review.
I'm willing to wait another week or two on that one. We have a good deadline on that one.
Ariel, if you're right, I'm sure now, thinking through the conversation again, show off the record. So does that mean you don't have, or you have another volunteer for?
Yeah, we don't have a volunteer. We don't have a volunteer yet for the health index.
It just puts us in rather bad state if we start complaining afterwards without actually commenting on these various documents and processes that we have put in place to try to address issues. Let's go on to the next discussion, because next item is the report from the ALAC meeting, and the first item is the policy development discussion, and particularly the comments and the whole discussion on how do we get people involved and that we have to get people involved. And yet, even amongst the most committed people, when you ask for volunteers, there are few and far between. And usually they're the same suspects that have stepped up for other things. Usually, not always, but usually. And we have this discussion on a regular basis saying we have to do something about it. I'm looking for bright ideas. Do we just wait for the whole at-large review and ALS criteria thing to finish and hope that by the time we finish, we will have done enough changes that maybe people will start popping out of the woodwork? Or do we need some different tact on this? Certainly, the rate at which public comments are coming out is such that either we need to walk away from an awful lot of them, as we are right now, but it's easy right now because there are big groups of them which we have a rationale for walking away from. I'm a bit at a loss, so I see it. Well, sorry, we have hands. Holly.
A couple of things will help. I know I've said it before, I'll say it again. I think we have to devote a bit more time at our actual face-to-face meetings, Hyderabad, for example, in having an ALAC discussion about the policy so that people understand what the issues are and we can spread some of the load. I think we maybe just need a session somewhere that says this is how you contribute to policy and so there are more people who can do it. The other thing, and it's related, but I've said this into people in the union or so, every time there is a new public policy thing that has the slightest impact, they should be holding a webinar so that people can actually understand what the issues are. And I do think that's a GNSO responsibility, but I think if we can work with them and say, how do you have webinars so that when something comes up for public comment, anybody can actually attend the webinar and then make an informed decision about whether to to comment or not.
They were doing that at one point. Has it stopped? Because there was an effort at one point to have such sessions.
I'd like to have it revived. I'd like to bring it up with a GNSO and maybe GNSO liaison to say every time there's something that looks at policy, you need to have a webinar, and there's got to be held twice so that we don't have to get up at 2 o'clock. And within our own meetings at Hyderabad or wherever, just point out these things are available and possibly tie it in with metrics. You know, if you're a member of ALAC, you're expected to attend the webinar and you're also expected to put your hand up every so often. I just think that there are sort of three prongs to your question. And maybe there are more. That's just my take. Thank you. Double coffee, I think Leon's got a great idea. Double coffee and extra water.
All right, we have a whole bunch of hands up. I think restricting this to just ALAC is a little bit limited. Heidi?
Yes, thank you, Alan. Just some comments on some possible suggestions. First, we have the DDDPP, that Document Development Pilot Program, that is just starting. They've identified actually three public comments that they want to start putting together these policy issues on. That might be a way to get people involved. Next
Which
one,
public
I like the
comments?
Idea. One is on IBM. One is on, Sylvie, if you could help me with that. I think it's new GTLDs coming up. Let me just see if I can take a look. Sylvie, if you could find that while I go on to my other options.
But Heidi, is the intent to have these documents out when the public comment opens or halfway through it?
I think just about when it opened. That's a good question. I'll make a note of that and get back to you on that.
I believe it's when they open. This is Sylvia. I believe it's when they open. But I'm checking.
Heidi. Okay, we'll throw on phone.
Yeah.
I sure haven't heard anything about this from the on the PDP side.
Exactly.
So, yeah, let me just find the email and just when I finish my other options, and then I'll come back on that one. The next one, I like the idea of debriefing webinars. I would actually bring them back to the at-large webinars that we used to have quite a few of, and we really haven't had any in some time. And that's something we could do and invite GNSO or anybody who's relevant to that to our particular public comment to present very briefly and then answer questions. Thirdly, I think some real opportunity would be the two sessions that we're having in Hyderabad, the strategy session, to answer some of these questions on how to get more people involved early on and knowledgeable about the public comment and then actually draft. You know, it might mean something like a coaching team for a few times. And then the development session at the end where maybe the ALAC can come up, you know, go back into little groups and then come back and suggest ideas on how to get people more involved and then get some commitment from them as well. And then finally, we have a valuable resource that sometimes feels slightly underused, and that is Ariel, our policy analyst, in turning, you know, getting some information out on the impact of these public comments on end users. And
I have put the three PDPs in on the chat.
Yeah, so we have, thank you, Sylvia. So we have, let's see, the phase two assessment of the competitive effects associated with the new GTLD program. That's going to open in August. Possibly pick who is. Holly, there you go. That looks like it's a perfect one. Transition from thin to thick for .com, .net, and .jobs.
In the year 2020.
Well, and then the IDN implementation guides, and that's going to open in September as well.
That's, the thick who is transition is a perfect example of people who don't want to implement things making sure that it doesn't get implemented. Thank you. Olivier.
Yeah, thanks very much, Alan. It's Olivier speaking. And, Heidi's already taken my suggestions for the PDD, DT, DT, whatever it's called, the multiple number of Ds, document production program thing. I was under the impression that the document production was actually also going to be undertaken by the RALOs on specific topics that the RALOs were interested in when it came down to policy development. So I'm a little confused about that. Maybe
that,
we can follow
that's
up.
That's what I had heard also.
Yeah, because...
So if I may... Olivier, if I may...
Go right ahead.
In this pilot, which is going to be 6 months, it's going to be basically where they have will be identifying the public comments that they believe would be of most interest to more ICES and SOs that are involved in this. And then after that, given feedback, then I think the next step, if it continues, would be where it would be more of a specific, customized approach.
That hasn't been communicated very well. The last I heard was it was going to be aimed at RALOs and constituencies. But that's fine. Olivier, go if you're not finished, go ahead.
Yeah, thanks very much, Alain. Olivier Catano-Blanc speaking. So secondly, I also think that you should really make sure that your members of the ALAC are active and are actually doing things, as in leading groups. I think there are several ALAC and at-large working groups that seem to have a chair that has moved on, and you should be looking at replacing those chairs and basically coming individually to at-large or to ALAC members and say, well, look, you know, you're not leading any group or anything like that. Just being on the ALAC is not enough. I think it's time for
You're into item number five. Let's not dwell on that right now.
But that's a suggestion, though, so that your working groups, it's not up to you to have to ask and to email people around and say, do you want to write something on this working group? Right now, your pool of choice of people has reduced itself so much that it's, and with the number of requests, it's just putting so much load on a very small number of people. Try and open it up again, and that's why I was going to say, get those people to share working groups and actually do things.
That's all. Thanks. Cheryl.
Couple of things, and I appreciate the fact that for once Heidi has got in before me because she picked up on a couple of points that I was going to raise, although we probably use slightly different language. First of all, read the double D, triple P, those topics that are already identified, well, I get tired saying all of those letters, those topics that are already identified, Holly, it strikes me that certainly some of them, if not all of them, are the types of topics that would fit into the suggestion you were making, which was to have a face-to-face and remote participation opportunity for discussion centred around various ICANN meetings. And, of course, where possible, we should encourage webinars to be able to be run for information of our own community, but open to others where possible and practical. This vomiting out of sequential and overlapping, actually it's more of a diarrheal moment really sometimes, public comments that happens out of ICANN. Have I made it graphic enough for you all yet? Well, you know my view. I think it's just bloody ridiculous where so many of them could have a degree of predictability so that we would be better able to set up and prepare for the types of outreach and engagement activities that we need to make our at-large and edge community contributions to this more effective. And that's something else we need to raise. That goes back to ATRT1 and a number of, it apparently appears to me, failed attempts for some form of coordination on flagging of when certain topics for public comment are coming out. That said, the concept of coaching is one of the reasons I was going to put up my hand on this particular matter, Alan, and that is that it's as the unofficial mentee to half the aspiring regional leaders, existing regional leaders and future ALAC members, it would appear. Strongly encouraging, I think is how I say it, some of them to pick up pens on some of these things, but we have to have the time available for that to be able to happen. You don't have, you know, for example, an ALAC meeting deciding that they will or won't be making a comment on something and then, you know, in under 7 to 14 days, the final document supposedly has been, you know, done and dusted and probably even voted on by the ALAC. That just doesn't work. The new GTLD health card one is one where mid-September, 27th of September, I think it is, we may just manage an exercise like that by the skin of its teeth on that one. And that one is low-hanging fruit and extraordinarily cheap and cheerful to do. It's, for heaven's sake, a beta system on metrics. As tempting as it would be for me to say, you know, Carly and Carlton should probably, you know, have a hand in that as well. I recognise that they're probably fairly busy. You know, some of us do have something to do with the old metrics new GTLD's work. And we could guide a couple of pen holders or two through that very simple process on that one at least, which will be a matter of, we think it's a damn good idea. Of course we need to have a community-based advisory committee. And yes, we should have, after the public comment period close, the call for committee member proposals to come out. I mean, I think I've just written it. You know, see what I mean? But it's got to be timely and able to be done in a managed way. Rant ended. Thank you.
Anything further? We are way over time, so it is not going to be a short meeting. All right. Next item, I think we've covered point A of item 4 at this point, policy development discussion. Next one is rules of procedure. We seem to have had closure yesterday on pretty much everything with the exception of the changes with related to the ALT. I know I've heard Tijani's comments and Sebastian's on the proposed changes. I guess I'd like to hear from other people. The motivation for suggesting it was to, number one, attach some words so we could use, describe the superset of the ALT when there was a meeting being held or something. And number two, to make it really clear that although there are liaisons there, and by the way, they're not just invited. It is in the rules of procedure that they are expected to participate. That when decisions are made by the ALT, they are indeed made by the five regionally appointed people, or the people appointed to represent the regions. And that was the two points are, number one, to just give us some nomenclature, and number two, make it really clear that although the number of people present may be larger, that decisions are being made by the five people on the formal ALT. So I'm not going to die on this one, but I have no strong connection or reason to push the word advisor if advisor is an offensive word. But I thought it should be clear what we're doing on a regular basis, because we are just documenting what has been done for a good number of years at this point, and making it clear to everyone how it works. So I guess I'd like to hear from any other people, particularly those on the ALT, but certainly anyone else around also. Anyone? Anyone still with us?
Yes, we're here.
No one cares?
Alan, if you'll give me the microphone then, it's Cheryl, for the record.
Go
clearly
for it.
I care. Thank you. I mean, clearly I care. I think the ability to codify in a clear and unambiguous manner a useful practice, which I think quite reasonably should remain the right and responsibility of an ALAC chair, is a fine thing. But it appears to me that you have one, if not more, either utterly confused individuals or sadly misled in terms of practicality versus some utopian environment that they would like to live in, people who are concerned about it. So if you need to fall back and go ahead on the remain silent and do as you damn well please, I think that's probably a reasonable place. But I actually think you were doing a very sensible and intelligent thing, and something that I would have been thinking would make us look good from a transparency point of view. But there you go.
That's what I would have thought also. And I'm happy to make the words about who are the invited non-advisors, and make it less specific. I just thought putting the cards on the table and saying what we're actually doing was being more open. Yuria.
Yeah, thank you. This is Yuria Lansip for the transcript. Yeah, as you said, I think that I got the impression yesterday that the word advisor was somehow offending to some people. So that, I don't know, I mean, you just call liaisons and all the others you can invite at the discretion of the chair.
That doesn't address the issue of what do we call the superset of people that tend to be invited to ALT meetings. You see, right now it's the ALT and the liaisons to AC's SOs and the two past chairs, because that's the only way to describe them at this point. And I was trying to get at some sort of global thing without, you know, just to make it easy to have titles of meetings or something else. Tijani, go ahead.
Thank you, Alan. Tijani speaking. Advisor doesn't hurt me at all, and it is not something that I don't like at all. My problem is that we are trying to open doors. Because our rules are very clear. The ALT is 5 people, full stop. And the rules also, the liaison attend all the meetings of the ALT and contribute in the discussion. It is clear, no confusion. More than that, all the meetings of the ALT, except in camera sections, are open to everyone to attend and to discuss freely, exactly as any member of the ALT. So what we are trying to clarify, I don't understand. We are trying to put a new kind of structure to which I am objecting. The structure is the ALT, and the ALT is composed of 5 people. That's all. We have other people who attend and participate in the ALT meeting. It is in the rules. And anyone that the chair wants to invite or wants to have them participate with the approval of the ALT members, they are there. Today, it happens that there are 2 past chairs. Next day, perhaps it will be another kind of people that you will find necessary to invite and to make them participate in our meeting. Why do we want to formalize that in the rules? Why? What is the importance? You said it is to call it. We are calling everything by their name. The ALT is the ALT. And for the ALT, there are people who attend regularly who are the liaison. And in the ALT, anyone can attend, anyone can participate. Thank you.
Tijani, would you be any happier if we remove the section on past chairs and say that other people may be invited by the chair to participate in ALT meetings without being specific as to who they are? May. That's a discretionary issue.
I accept that. I accept that. We say with the discussion of the chair with the approval of the ALT members, of course. Thank you.
Well, if we say the discretion of the chair, no chair is going to stare down an ALT that is vehemently against something. That's not going to happen in our world. So I don't think we need to put an approval step in. But I'm happy to change the chairs to other invited guests, if that makes it more palatable. I just don't like, the problem is I don't like that we have practices, and yet to someone reading the rules, it's not obvious. And I have been subject to a number of comments saying, Olivier is here to, let's be blunt. Olivier is here because he's also the GNSO liaison. I have been told by a number of people that Cheryl shouldn't be here because she no longer holds any position. I happen to value her input. I think most of this group values her input. And I believe we should have the benefit of that experience and background. And yet I've been told by other people that clearly there's favoritism going on here because she's been invited and other people aren't. And that...
It's an open meeting.
Pardon me?
It's an open meeting.
It is an open meeting. As I said, I have received those comments. That one of the back things in my mind was to formalize the process so that I have something to point to. And future chairs have something to point to should they want to do that and not be subject to that kind of criticism, which I believe is completely out of line.
If I can make a follow-up comment.
Olivier does have his hand up, but go ahead, Tijani.
You are saying exactly what I said last time. It is because she is Cheryl that we want them. We want her. You said you are appreciating her input. This is why you are inviting her. It is not because she is a past chair.
Tijani, I've already taken the past chair words off the table and said other guests.
Okay, very good.
You won that one. You don't have to argue it anymore. Olivier.
Yeah, thanks very much, Alan. Olivier Capanablanc speaking. And it's plain obvious that the mistakes that those people making the criticism do not understand or don't seem to want to understand that the ALT meetings are open. And as the chair, even if you have a closed part of the meeting, and I recall that from the times when Cheryl was running the then XCOM, there were a couple of things, a few matters where the XCOM had to be in camera, but there was always the option of the chair inviting one person or another for whatever reason it was, and more often than not, it was for their expertise in the topic, to remain on the in-camera part of the call. So I really don't see... I see what you're trying to do when you're trying to make this easy for future chairs. And I think that Tijani does have a point in that if we start formalizing this, then maybe we should just say the chair may invite people on the ALT at their leisure or whatever it is, or at their discretion, if you wish to formalize something. But to actually say that the previous ALAC chairs would be part of the ALT is
Olivier,
the change of
Olivier, may I interrupt? Number one, I've already agreed to remove the chairs. Number two, it never did say the chairs would be part. It said at the current chair's discretion, past chairs might be invited. So it never formalized that they had to be. And besides that, it's gone now, so let's not argue about why it should be gone again, or I'll put it back.
At the chair's discussion, anybody may be invited. How is that?
fine. Cheryl. Cheryl, can't hear you.
Sorry, I was on mute. Very briefly, I would suggest you just remain silent because people tend to manage to misinterpret your intent. You've already taken the specifics off the table. The chair has the unalienable right of deciding who is or is not to be heard at a meeting, and therefore you've got the ability, as all future chairs do too. The meetings are open, so unless the ALT takes a very bold move of making all their meetings in camera and closed, there isn't an issue. But just some of us will intend to turn up more often than others.
Thank you, Cheryl. I think we actually now have agreement on a revised version. I will circulate it in this group first and see if we indeed have agreement. If we do, then we'll go forward with it. If not, I'll pull it back. Next item, let me get back, the ICANN debriefing. I was a little bit disappointed that I explicitly said, let's talk about what the ALAC can do in the ALAC meetings, and virtually all of the comments were about the meeting format. I'm just expressing a little bit of frustration, I guess. I would like to have a discussion sometime. I and staff and Leon and Baran put an immense amount of effort into planning the ALAC parts, the at-large parts of the Helsinki meeting, and I was trying to get some feedback on that, and I would still value it because it was the largest effort I can ever recall seeing put into a meeting schedule, and the changes that were being made down to the very last moment were just unbelievable. But and that's what I was trying to get feedback on. So I'm not quite sure. Maybe I'll try it in email this time. I was hoping for something better than what we got, and I thank Holly. Holly did make some comments on the at-large meetings themselves. Lastly, on assemblies, we glossed over it very quickly, but Heidi announced that although we were funded for only two assemblies, we would in fact do three. I don't think we got any pushback. I'm not sure it was said with enough people listening so they absorbed it. Heidi, do you have a level of comfort that we can start going ahead with some planning on this?
Yes. Yes, hi, this is Heidi. Yes, Susie is my trusted ultimate budget holder, and she has given the thumbs up, so we can move ahead. In fact, we are significantly already advanced in the Neuralo GA planning. We are just reaching out to the mediators. What the plan now is to have for the assembly, the LAC-RALO assembly, we're hoping that can actually be moved a little bit earlier or a little bit later into the early part of next year rather than the autumn. So we're just waiting to see the outcomes of the interviews, et cetera, and the availability and feedback from the mediators. And then the AFRALO GA next June, yes, I would hope that AFRALO would move ahead to start by doing an organizing committee and then start planning their GA.
Okay, the implication is that for the two GAs, the funding is going to be somewhat constrained. That is, lavish things may not quite be on the table or a lot of other add-ons, and I'm presuming that both groups understand that.
Yes. You know, I think let's just, I wouldn't talk about budget so much as let's have a general assembly that really addresses what is needed rather than, you know, the need rather than the absolute wants and desires.
Okay. I just don't want any surprises going forward saying we didn't understand. So I'll leave that up to you to deal with the RALOs. Tijani has a comment.
Yes, thank you very much. I would like Heidi to explain us what kind of restriction will be done on the GA. I discussed that in Helsinki with you, and you said we will have everything. We will have our capac building, we will have our general assembly, so there is no problem. So if there is another restriction, please tell us.
Hi, Dajani. This is Heidi. No, as we discussed in Helsinki during the final ALT meeting, you know, capacity building session in the morning, that's obviously something that is needed. So, yes, that could go ahead. I mean, what I would ask is that we perhaps work with you and Aziz and, you know, perhaps prior to organizing or setting it up to organizing committee on just some basic guidelines and parameters. And then we can go forward on that. But yeah, I am totally supportive of AFRALA holding a general assembly that will be of the most impact for, you know, the AFRALA end users.
I think the message is that over the last number of years, some of our general assemblies have become larger than life with extra add-on parts or extra add-on visitors, and I think this go-round, if we're going to do things like that, we're going to likely have to find private funding for some of it. That it's going to be difficult to do, you know, just one more little thing. All it's going to cost is another, $10,000. Heidi, is that a new hand?
Yes, just very briefly, if I could. Tajani, basically, if you wanted to bring a large number of people who outside of the current at-large structure representatives, that's something that would raise a concern budget-wise. Okay, so that's something that you might need to look for additional funding for. Okay, but let's talk offline or maybe with Gisela and Aziz in the next week or so.
Okay, understood.
Right.
Let's discuss it later. Okay, thank you.
Thank you all. Next item 5, ALAC metrics. We have had sporadic discussions on all sorts of metrics for all sorts of people. The metrics group is on hold right now pending the ALS level and RALO level work that's going on. However, we do have on the books in our rules of procedure that we will keep track of a number of things on for ALAC members and I believe for RALO leaders. And the practice of actually keeping track of it in some cases, we can go back and get it, but we haven't kept spreadsheets up to date on a regular basis, which includes attendance, meeting participation, other work groups and things that you're active in, essentially the things that are described within the rules of procedure or the position description document. And I would, unless someone has some strong objections, I would like to ask staff to start keeping these up to date. I have already in some cases for voting and for meeting, and we are doing it for meeting attendance, and start publishing these. There's going to be some flack when people see some of the results. I don't plan to label them in red and ask people to wear red armbands if they're not attending all the meetings, but it will become obvious from looking at these what kind of level of attendance we do have and level of attendance and participation. If there's any objection, I'd like to hear it now. Otherwise, it will start happening quickly. Tajani.
Thank you, Alan. Tijani speaking. As per the request of Cheryl in Helsinki, I have sent the paper I prepared for the ALS performance matrix. I hope it was received. Thank you.
I'm not sure what document we're talking about.
Alan, do you want me to answer that for you?
Sure, please.
Okay. Tijani is referring to the AFRALO paper created for our earlier metrics group, our metrics work, which outlined the option, one which I think is worthwhile revisiting, and I think the group discussed and agreed with that too, perhaps under some modification. But the end game is it proposes a layer of in inverted commas, activity that is linked to rights and responsibilities. So if members and or at-large structures don't do certain things and come up to certain metric standards, then they forego certain rights. So it's a matching of rights and responsibilities and allows for a multi-level member, in inverted commas, approach or membership standard approach as opposed to, you know, you're in or you're out.
Okay, I haven't
seen that yet, Tijani, so I don't know who you sent it to, but hopefully it has been captured. Thanks.
Okay, so that was the document that the discussion came up when we were talking about two classes of ALS, that is the inactive ones or the background ones and the active ones.
That is correct, and it could be applicable to members as well as ALSs.
Yeah, okay, I understand. The discussion today was really talking about ALAC members and regional leaders. So I'm not trying to build new rules right now. I'm just taking the existing rules and saying we will start collecting and publishing this kind of information. So that was the question. If anyone has any objection, speak now, and I'd like to understand why. Olivier, go ahead.
Thanks, Alan. Olivier Capon-Leblanc speaking. And I think I heard you mention the performance of ALAC members. I gather that this also includes the regional leads. It might be, well, it is important that you clearly set out, when it comes down to ICANN meetings, what the expected attendance of regional leaders is supposed to be, because there's certainly some confusion in that. Some people don't know what meetings they need to attend, and maybe they should. So if you put it clearly out, that would be helpful. Thanks.
There are some people for whom no matter how clearly you mention, they will still not know they're supposed to be actually going to meetings that they've been brought to a foreign city for.
I didn't say that.
I said that.
Just for the record.
I said that. I said that, however. Yes, meeting attendance at ICANN meetings is part of it, is not the only thing. It is also attendance at ALAC meetings. Any case, all I'm talking about is actually publishing, is collecting and publishing the information that our rules say we should be doing, and we have not for the last several years. That is what I was asking whether there's any concern about. Holly, go right ahead.
Yeah, I do have a bit of concern about publishing broadly. Is there a way to publish just for those ALAC members? I have concerns. I don't know how the information will be used, but if it is available for, you know, the globe, it may actually be used in ways that we can't anticipate, because it seems to me what we're hoping to do is shame people in front of their peers, saying you're not there, and that's achieved by having ALAC members have access to that information.
But not the people who appointed them?
Well, Alan, I'd have to think about it. I just have a little bit of a reservation, that's all. And I think you make a good point. If somebody's there on behalf of a group and they're not at meetings, then that group should know. I think I'm concerned about how broadly the information's available. I'd like to think about it. It's a concern that I haven't thought through.
Certainly at the first level we can push them out on the internal list, but I understand there is a danger that people outside of at large will get it and demonstrate that people are receiving travel funds but not doing anything. There is a danger of that. Cheryl, go ahead.
Right. Sorry, it took me a moment to unmute. Holly, the counterpoint, and I appreciate your privacy position, but you've well practiced with that, it goes to a matter of accountability and transparency. And, ICANN uses dashboards for very good reasons. If you want to look up and find out exactly to the cent how much constituency travel support every one of my rather more expensive airfares, because I happen to travel in business class
under a medical dispensation, you can get onto a dashboard and you can look it up and you can publish it. And you know what? That's a fair trade-off for using ICANN's dime. And for the same, or at least in my view it is, and for the same should be said at least for our leadership. If you step up and agree to operate as an ALAC member or a RALO leader, then there's got to be some form of accountability associated with it. And at the bare minimum, a sensitive but nevertheless accurate access to performance metrics, I think, is absolutely reasonable. Is there a risk of it being, misinterpreted and misquoted? Yes, there probably is. The solution to that is actually have performances that don't look bad.
Hey, I've been reported as being the most expensive ICANN traveler in the world. So, and I'll also claim that I will not travel anywhere if it's not on business class, which I'd like to say is true, but isn't. But yes, those attributions come. They get distributed on Twitter, and people forget about them the next week. I don't really care. Okay. So I haven't heard any strong arguments for not starting to collect them. Holly has a little bit of concern over where they're distributed, but I don't hear that as a widespread concern. Tijani, you have your hand up.
Just to say that I 100% agree with Cheryl.
Thank you.
Then.
Next item, creation of a group to propose and draft rules of procedure changes for the empowered community. We have a deadline. If we want to have everything in place formally, we have a deadline of the end of September. There is at least one action that we have to take formally, but we could take it without having formal rules of procedures, and that is to appoint our director effective the 1st of October. In the absence of other processes, we could simply take a vote, and that would work just fine. However, my comfort level is such that I believe we should have some rules of procedure changed by then. The world won't come to an end if we don't make it, but if we can, that's fine. My inclination is to do this on a minimalist basis. That is, there are a whole bunch of powers that we have, and we could itemize them one by one and have differing voting thresholds and detailed processes, or we could simply say that to make decisions on behalf of the empowered community, we need a majority or a supermajority vote, and we will use our normal deliberation processes for any discussions that have to happen. So I'm not saying that those three lines are going to be the changes in the rules of procedure, but my feeling is we should try to do this on a minimalist basis, at least to start with. We can always go back. So I don't think this is going to be a really onerous task, but I'd like to have general agreement from this group before I propose that to the ALAC. And the second is who is part of the drafting team to put it together. I don't see the need on this one to try to do something regionally balanced. I do believe that the people involved in it should be people who have been heavily involved in the process and know what we're talking about ahead of time. So we're really looking at a small set of people who are potential candidates, that is those who have been very active in the CCWG, in the IANA issues group, and pull a small set of volunteers out of that. Because I think it should be a minimalist effort, I don't think this is a huge, onerous task. I think a few meetings to discuss it and then send someone off to do a first draft and then revision is all it's going to take. I see some tick marks from Olivier and Cheryl, and I guess I'd like either confirmation from other people or comments from other people as to whether that's a reasonable way forward. And we have confirmation from pretty much everyone who's on this call. I'll draft something and send it out to the ALT for confirmation and revision. So we'll go ahead with that moderately quickly. As I said, the timeline is short if we do something. We don't have to, but I don't think it needs to be a huge gargantuan effort. Olivier, if I could call upon you, I know the GNSO has chartered a group to do its changes. Have they had any discussion on overall philosophy as to whether this is going to be a minimalist or a huge thing?
Yeah, thanks very much, Alan. Olivier Capanablanc speaking. They haven't so far reached that level of discussion. They are aware that the GNSO has, in general, never undertaken such decisions. So they need to really start from scratch. And they will report regularly to the GNSO Council, of course. But they're not looking at this as being a very light endeavor. I personally think that the ALAC has much more flexibility in the way that it does things, and probably our procedures will likely be easier than theirs, or less prone to process or extensive process. That said, I would volunteer to be on the ALAC group, and I would certainly keep my ears open for the process in the GNSO Council in case that might be helpful to the ALAC.
Yeah, I think my only concern is, are we forgetting something that, you know, in our attempt to be simple, are we forgetting something important? The GNSO issue, I think, is largely a philosophical one. The GNSO has process in place to make decisions, both majority and supermajority decisions. They like to think of themselves as only using that as the manager of the policy process. But on several occasions, they have used their voting structure to make other decisions, and it works just fine. They just have to accept it. So it's a mindset more than a process, but I have no doubt it will become a major issue for them. Any other comments? Olivier, that's a new hand, old hand?
Yes, Alan, it's a new hand. It's Olivia speaking. And it's just to mention that the GNSO does have the complexity of the bicameral house, and that certainly introduces complexities when it comes to voting, which might, in some cases, if one starts asking for a supermajority, might end up with unexpected votes, as we've seen with the last elections, where there wasn't a need for a supermajority, but for some reason the majority wasn't reached in one of the houses, and, well, it became an absolute mess without, and things were not able to happen. One has to remember the procedures which will need to be drafted or put together and need to be speedy procedures, and more often than not, when it comes down to such votes, the GNSO Council isn't that great with doing this. So I think they'll spend a plentiful amount of time to try and find a speedy way to make decisions. And we should also be looking at both a speedy way, but also a way that on the ALAC, we don't have the problem of the bicameral house. We certainly have the problem of the five regions, and we have the challenge of making it not capturable. Whilst at the same time making it something that can be called upon by any, in a certain way, by anyone. And this is going to be our challenge.
Yeah, the bicameral house is really a red herring, because the bicameral house forces some awkward voting rules, but the rules are there. The real problem in the GNSO is that most of the councillors do not have the discretion to vote what they believe. They have to go back to consult, and that consultation process is the one that can't happen quickly enough. We don't have that problem within ALAC. Some of the regions prefer that their appointed ALAC members consult on everything, and that's essentially at their level that they have to make sure that they can do it quickly enough. Just as within GNSO, it's at the stakeholder group and constituency. So in any case, I think we're okay, but yes, please keep an eye on it, and I do appreciate your contributing to the effort. I'm hoping it will not be a gargantuan effort, though.
Alan, it's Olivia. I've got my hand up again. Just
all right. I can't tell when it goes down and up. Go ahead.
Thanks. No, I did put it down for a few seconds, then I put it back up again. I'm kind of dancing Macarena at the moment, it seems. No, just one last thing. You know, the community powers are extremely important. And if you're looking at, just to give you an idea of the magnitude, the removal of the ALAC selected board director. Now, we've made so many provisions and we've been so careful in the process that we've used to select an ALAC selected board director. I really believe we should be equally as careful in designing a procedure to decide to remove or propose the removal of such a board director. So I do think it's not going to be such a fast thing, because it might be that we would need different tracks or different processes for different powers, depending on what the power is. But anyway, the working group will probably go into we really need to start ASAP on it.
Yeah, I'm not convinced all of that needs to be in our rules of procedure. We may well have process documents, and we have other ancillary processes that we follow, but they don't necessarily have to be in the rule of procedure. Anyway, that's my position. We'll see how it turns out. We have 15 minutes allocated for ICANN 57 planning. I don't know quite what it is we would like to do here. I'll turn it over. My name, Leon, and Gisela is on it. I'm not quite sure who's going to take the lead here or what it is we're doing. It's not me. So I'm presuming it's Gisela or Heidi. And I'm happy to drop the item if we want to move ahead.
So this is Heidi. I think I'd just like to go over a few updates that we've had in the last few days, and then I would like to just mention something again that at-large staff hopes to or intend to move forward with. So I'm going to bring it first over to Gisela for some updates and questions that she may have, and then I'll come in at the end. Gisela?
Heidi, thank you. Gisela here. I just announced yesterday on the ALAC call that we were going to have a call with meeting team today, so I'd have loads of information for you today. Unfortunately, it was cancelled due to unforeseen circumstances of one of the meetings team members. So we're planning on having that call next week, and that call is going to help me with the scheduling on the block schedule that we'll be putting forward, and then to fine-tune on the various groups we want to be meeting with, etc. And also on general logistics, as we've said it numerous times, the ICANN 57 is going to be challenging with regarding to logistics, hotels, where they're situated, shuttles being required to get into the to the convention center. We're possibly even looking into having midday shuttles to get people back to their hotels if need be, to freshen up and then come back. So all that information we don't have yet, and we're just getting it in drips and drabs, and we really would like to be able to give you some more detailed information, and this prior to the webinar that is scheduled on the 7th of September. That is the blog that Nick Tommaso sent out. I think that we have quite a bit of work to do between now and the 7th of September, so the sooner we get the information and pass it on to you, the better. We are aware of the fact that people will be taking a little bit of break in August, but we'll hopefully keep the ball rolling as I haven't started the countdown to Hyderabad yet, but I know it's just around the corner. A little update that we've had since yesterday is that we already have a date and a time penciled in for a meeting with the ALAC and the board on Sunday the 6th of November between 11 and 12. What would help me is just to confirm the other groups that you'd like to meet with so that we can send them invitations, and we'll already get this on our schedule. So the GAC, the CCNSO, ESSAC, IPC. As I mentioned yesterday, we have had a meeting with NCSG in the past. Do we want to have one with NCOC? How do we wish to take this forward? Decision-making on who to meet with. That is the update that I've got since yesterday. And also the issue of vaccines was raised in yesterday's call. And just to say that is to be covered by the per diem. And I will put in the chat the link where it actually stipulates that the only additional cost that ICANN will cover is for the visas.
Does anyone have any questions at this stage?
Just the question, someone raised the issue of concern over visas and that September may be a bit late.
Yes.
Someone else implied that visas could be obtained electronically and therefore were not an issue. I haven't looked into it myself.
Alan, this is Heidi. And Kipa, go ahead, Kipa. You know the answer.
No, we've...
Go ahead, Kipa.
Sorry, we what we need to have confirmed is that we might be able to get the visas at the airport, but they just need to make sure that the that this meeting is considered a it's the terminology for the meeting, whether it is like a business trip, in which case a specific business trip, in which case we will be able to possibly get visas at the airport. But that again, Joseph is working on that. And that will be addressed on our call next week. And I'll get back to you as soon as I have the information. And I agree the 7th of September is too late for that because people will need to get the visas. And if they do need to get a visas, we always have visa issues. So hopefully we'll have, as far as the ALAC is concerned, as many responses as possible next week.
Just for the record, visas at airports can be really problematic. Airlines are not necessarily well-informed and will not necessarily let you on planes if you don't have a visa. And I personally am reluctant to fly halfway around the world and hope I get the visa at the airport. But that maybe is just me.
Go ahead. Kipa, are you finished?
Sorry, Heidi, it was the email from Joseph which says that there is a provision to do an e-visa upon arrival. It's if we are valid for a casual business visit, if that is what I was looking for. So they're busy confirming that with the hosts or not. But I agree, Alan, traveling halfway around the world and getting there and not being sure to have a visa, so it would be great to have them ahead of time. And as for the vaccines, I'm just trying to find the best website. I found a few, and there are quite a few shots that one does need. So I'm hoping that we'll be able to get a little email out to everyone to make sure that they don't wait last minute to do this.
Well, I'm not worried about telling them which vaccines. Let their doctor or healthcare provider do that. The question was, does ICANN pay for vaccines? Does ICANN pay for malaria medication? Hyderabad is right in the middle of a serious malaria zone.
Cheryl here, as I understand it, the answer is no. That comes out of your per diem.
Yeah, now I understand. In the past, that has not always been the case. But my understanding is that is what they're saying today.
Now, should the per diems be appropriately reviewed, considering malarial requirements? Yes, but that's a different question.
I know in Canada, where medication is cheap, it's about $10 a day. I don't know what it is.
And if you're allergic to anti-malarials like I am and you have to stick with your antibiotics, it's not as expensive as people who will be taking the anti-malarials. So, you know,
yep.
It's a whole variation.
Anyway, as far as I'm concerned, I don't give a damn. I'm going to take care of myself regardless of whether someone's paying for me or not. All right, anything else on ICANN 57?
Yes,
Heidi, you said you wanted
just
to.
Just really quickly, and then I see a couple of hands raised. I just wanted to let everyone know that as announced during Helsinki, staff are going to develop a new, more efficient agenda, and we're going to just go ahead and start using it as we start preparing, and then we'll probably come back to you to fill in some of the details as well. But we truly believe that that's going to be more useful, so hope that you will indulge us.
I'm sorry, say that again.
So I'll make it just a reminder that we suggested in Helsinki that a new type of agenda be used, and that would include more of a table format where for each meeting there would be documents needed, there would be basically who's in charge, who's leading that. There would be aims and outcomes desired for that session so people are more aware of what the discussion is about, what they need to know, and what the aims of that particular session are.
So you're abandoning the one with touchy-feely faces and everyone's smiling, but that gives no information whatsoever.
sorry, no, that's for at large. I'm talking strictly from the at large agendas on our wiki pages.
Ah, okay, fine. At large, okay.
But,
I hope you're saying you're ICANN is abandoning the other one also.
I have no say in that. But anyway, just to let you know that we will show you shortly an example of that, and we do believe that you'll find it more useful and efficient.
And how will you handle multiple languages in this one?
We are going to then add links to each one. So we'll have separate wiki pages for each of the language versions.
Sounds good to
more
me.
Wiki pages. Okay.
Sounds good to me. Do you have anything else, or should I go to the hands?
Go to the hands.
Holly.
To repeat what I said at the ALAC call, in developing the schedule for ALAC, can we actually leave time for some of the things we've said on this call, such as the possibility of discussing issues amongst ALAC, having some kind of seminars with policy and stuff? My experience has been I've suggested this before a couple of times, two or three times, and by the time we get to the schedules on what we're doing, there are no time slots. So can we just stand back and say, what we've talked about today requires time, and fit it in as part of the process instead of afterwards saying, oh, so sorry, we'll do that next week or next session.
Holly, you've made the statement several times. I said we would do our best. When the messages go out saying, what do you want to say, make sure you speak up. And when we start reviewing agendas, if we haven't met your targets, speak up. We may not meet everyone's targets.
Thank you.
But you have to take some level of ownership in it also, not just assume we're going to do good things. We're trying to balance a lot of different things.
I know that. I'm just saying my experience has been I do raise the issues a lot, and I'm just doing it again. Thank you.
Olivier.
Thanks, Alan. Olivier Crépin-Leblanc speaking. And Leon mentioned in the chat that regarding visa requests within 30 days of arrival, it is indeed my understanding that the visa, if one goes for an e-visa, that would probably be within 30 days of arrival. Others would be either 6 months or 12 months, depending on how much you want to pay for it. So one could, in theory, already apply for a visa now via the normal means. And this is the reason why I made the request yesterday, if we could actually advance that travel advisory or whatever it is that the contingency traveler is going to provide us with, so as to be able to use that month where many people don't actually travel because it's holiday time, or travel to exotic places, so don't need their passport, over to August. I'm really concerned that come September, I know I'm traveling nonstop all over the place, and as you very rightly said, the visa on arrival is rather worrying in some cases. Thanks.
Holly, is that a new hand?
No, sorry, that's an old.
Anything further on ICANN 57? There was someone who said Olivier.
Yeah, thanks, Alan. It's Olivier speaking. I don't know, you haven't addressed that. I've mentioned in the chat, would it be of interest to have a meeting with a registry stakeholder group? I have had some discussions within the GNSO with the different constituencies, and it's clear that the two constituencies that the ALAC has not met with in a while are the registrar stakeholder group and the registry stakeholder group. The registrars, we have very strong and frequent links through their previous chair, Michele Nalen. And now they're having a new chair in place. Maybe they might wish to have one meeting to get settled. But certainly the registry's constituency has been, I've been approached by them. They've been very eager to have a meeting with the ALAC and see what we could discuss. And certainly there are some points. As you know, the registry's constituency has changed so much because of all of the new arrivals. it might be interesting to have a chat with them.
Thank I'm you. Certainly willing if they are. If they've approached us, then we should try to put something together.
Not in an official way. We haven't approached in an official way, but it's just been circulated. It would be an interesting idea to, perhaps have a chat.
I wasn't saying it was official.
And I would certainly say that perhaps a meeting of the leadership teams would be a good thing.
Certainly
rather
we
than
can
a full-out meeting of the full ALAC with the full registry.
Make a proposal and we'll do something. Certainly with the leadership team, it's a lot easier. The other group we haven't met with in a long time, although they have tried valiantly, is the business constituency, or the business, or the commercial stakeholders group. They invited us to breakfast numerous times, but we could never make it because of other conflicts, and they've just stopped asking at this point. But it may be worthwhile approaching whoever's leading that stakeholder group now. I don't know who it is, to see if there is some interest in trying to do something in Hyderabad.
I believe it is Elizabeth Thomas Reno who is in charge of the business constituency.
No, not business. The commercial stakeholder group.
Ah, okay. Sorry. I can't remember offhand.
Okay. If you could do some informal discussions, perhaps. All right. Anything else on ICANN 57? Last call.
Alan, it's Olivia again. Sorry, I misunderstood you here, or maybe I did understand you. Do you wish me to try and make a contact, or are you going to follow up on this?
See if there's any interest. We were invited a number of times. Tony Holmes was chairing for a while, and at least I believe it was Tony. He was chairing, and they would have breakfast meetings on constituency day, and we always had the ICANN board meeting, so we ended up with conflicts and couldn't do that. So see if there's still some interest. Certainly with the business constituency, we have had a lot in common and have had generally good relations. We're now talking to the IPC. Maybe we're doing it individually and there's no need to do it at the stakeholder group. I'll leave it to you to feel people out and see if there's some need or not.
Gisela.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, just to say, Chair of the BC is now Christopher Wilson. I met him in Helsinki.
Of the BC, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. Next item, at-large review. Would Holly or anybody care to spend a few minutes? There was a meeting earlier today of the review team.
I think it's tracking fine. I'm absolutely happy to say that everybody got an email from Tom. It updated everybody. I don't think there's anything to add at this stage.
Okay,
check
done.
The timeline.
Any other business?
Yes. Alan?
Yes, go ahead.
I just wanted to point out that we needed some information about the questions to be asked shortly by staff to when we start calling the at-large structure representatives. So I know that you said that you're going to start moving ahead again with the ALF Criteria and Expectations Task Force. But one of the questions that might be useful is getting the questions that, the staff person could start asking the ALSs.
So you're soliciting questions from this group, or you're going to ask on a wider level?
Both. And
okay.
Okay. And I do see that Lars would wanted to speak as well, I believe.
I didn't see that, but Cheryl and Tijani, which item is this on? If
AOB, so go back to Lars.
Okay, let's go back to Lars.
Yep.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you, everyone. This is Lars for the record. I just want to add just a couple of things. I think Holly covered it very well. There was a good email sent out by Tom, who hasn't seen it. You can go to the ADLAC Review Working Party email list, and you should find it there. That summarizes the findings of the ETIMS team, or the work that the ETIMS team has done to date. I believe about 80 interviews, and they are now in the process of putting together the online survey, which hopefully will go out to will have a much larger response rate, economical scale there, to assure that the widest section of the at-large and the wider ICANN community is heard in this review process. And then we can expect some preliminary findings to give you just a look ahead in late October from ETEMS. That should kind of summarize their thinking and potentially have some preliminary recommendations to kind of see where their work is going. This will also then be presented in Hyderabad, and more community feedback is sought at that point. And then the preliminary report should be out by the end of November, early December, which will also then be out for everyone in ALAC to comment, but it will be published for a general ICANN public comment period. This is where we are at the moment. If you have any questions, put them in the chat or reach out to me or ask them on this call. Thank you.
It's Alan. My recollection was that they were supposed to present a draft report to the working party prior to something being made public.
Yes, absolutely, Alan. Absolutely correct, yes. And so I can go into more detail. The report will not just be put out for public comment without anybody seeing it before, and it will be discussed with the working party, who is also then free to reach out to other parts of the at-large community. And then eventually it will be put out for public comment at the end of November. The report will be seen and known by community members before then.
Thank you. Anything else on the at-large review before we go on to AOB? Oh, sorry, I missed that. Heidi, there's an at-large structure application issues that you put on the agenda. Do you know what that is? I don't know what that is.
Well, that was the issue we brought up, this is Heidi, for AFRALO, the dual membership.
All right, we're discussing that with AFRALO first, though.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. On to any other business. Cheryl, go ahead.
We'll take Tijani first.
Tijani, go ahead.
Thank you very much, Alan and Cheryl. In my point of view, we are losing a lot of time during this kind of meeting. Why? Because we are doing this meeting one day after the ALAC, and all members of the ALT are members of ALAC. So we are discussing and repeating what we said yesterday. My point of view is that this meeting should be before the ALAC meeting, to prepare for the ALAC meeting, and we normally hold two meetings of ALT. The second will be after the ALT, the ALAC meeting, to implement or to do what is necessary to do according to the decisions taken inside the ALAC meeting. So today we repeated several sections and we said exactly what we said yesterday. I think we shouldn't do that in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. I guess I have to disagree. We certainly talked about some of the same things, but it was as a follow-on based on what happened on the ALAC. So this call normally is not the day after. Normally we allow a few days, but the timing this week did not allow that. But in general, I don't think we did the same things over again. There were a few that we probably shouldn't have, but most of them were based on the decisions or based on the discussion of the what happened at the ALAC meeting. There is normally another meeting. There's the second monthly meeting, which is typically held a week to 2 weeks before the ALAC meeting, and that one we seem to have gotten a little bit out of sync at this point, so I agree with you on that one. Cheryl.
Thank you, Alan. Cheryl Langdonor for the record, and this is probably a raising of awareness issue rather than something for a full, frank, and fearless discussion now,
but I gather that it would suit the leadership team to look at this first rather than take it to the full ALAC and indeed the regional leadership if that is going to become necessary. I am increasingly concerned, if not downright distressed, with the enthusiasm of one or more regions, but really it's mainly one, in its rationalisation, and that's in inverted commas in case you don't get the tone, of at-large structures and the difference between facilitating and engaging as opposed to some sort of purge to suit who knows what agenda. I am aware of a likely proposal for the decommissioning of several at-large structures within one region where the at-large structures have indicated to the regional leads that their issue is practical difficulties in engagement, not a lack of willingness or the fact that they've fallen off the face of the earth. This smacks of the ability to capture within our regions and at-large structures. It is something that I think I will be raising as part of my interest with the at-large review for the regional and ALSs. I want to remind the leadership team that it is ALAC appointments for at-large structures to become accredited. They merely take the advice and do what they will with it from the regional at-large organisations, and it will come, if these decommissionings come before the ALAC, I will be advocating very strongly that there is serious concerns. Moreover, because of the nature of these particular at-large structures, it is a matter of accessibility and our intent to be fully inclusive would come under great questioning if these types or classes or particular at-large structures were decertified by the ALAC. And should that come to pass, or if I fear it will come to pass, I am going to look at whether or not I can take it on as a form of class action on behalf of similar at-large structures with the Ombudsman, and hang on to your seats, ladies and gentlemen, because the last time an Ombudsman went through ALAC, it was when I took over, and may God go with you when they do it again. Thank you.
I was there. I don't want to do that again. I do have a couple of comments, and they're rather pointed ones also. I'm not going to go in camera, though. The last set of decertifications that the ALAC did was done with a number of interesting messages sent out expressing some level of concern that due process had not been followed in doing that. The ALAC's reaction in general was just like the general ALAC reaction on certifications is, accreditations. That is, the regional advice is given to us, we will simply follow it. That belies the fact that it is, as Cheryl pointed out, an ALAC decision, and there is a due diligence, and I'm not using the reference to the form that staff fills out, but a responsibility of ALAC members to look at the process and the documents, and all the more so for decertifications. I will be honest, I voted against several of those decertifications, and because I didn't believe that reasonable process had been followed. But nobody else seems to even look at the documents. I don't know how we can get a better level of ownership, but it is an issue that I think I certainly have some concern on in the general case. And I not, I'm not speaking to the specifics of this one, where I can also go on at some point. But I think we have a general issue that railos are largely autonomous. They, you know, there is no body other than the ombudsman or the board should it choose to step in to override what a railo does in general. And we're seeing more situations where that is problematic, and I have no clue how to address it. Anyone else dare to speak, or do we adjourn the meeting? Silence. Maybe everyone's left already.
Alan, thank you for that. And just to be clear, should I bring it to, as an action to the Ombudsman, it would be the ALAC procedures that would be being reviewed, and therefore it might be a very harsh lesson on reminding them what their responsibilities and rights are.
I think our procedures are fine. The carrying, how they're carried out is a different issue altogether. But yes, I understand. Let's continue this discussion in various forms. Any further comments before I adjourn? Thank you for bearing with us for the slightly longer than normal meeting, and enjoy the rest of your week. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, all. Thank you.
Bye, all.
Thank you all. The meeting has been adjourned and the audio will now be disconnected. Thank you for joining today's call and wishing you a good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you may be. Thank you.